As always, I'd like to thank the elders for this opportunity. And I'd like to ask each and every one of you to study along with me. And if you find me preaching something contrary to the gospel, please bring it to my attention. Or if you just want to ask me a question or consult about something I said, please do so. I'd like to start out tonight by talking about Timothy. Paul and Timothy had a very special relationship, one which is almost aptly described, I think, as mentor and mentee. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul just tells Timothy a bunch of things he needs to be doing, and he really lays a lot on Timothy's shoulders. You have to think of, from Timothy's perspective, he's a young man. His father was not a convert as far as we know. We don't know exactly how old he was, but Paul gives him a long list of things to do. And on top of it all, Timothy lives in ancient times where persecution often meant physical endangerment or death. And so it's really interesting to me that at the beginning of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7, Paul utters this statement to Timothy. For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I think as Christians, we can learn a lot from Timothy, and 1 and 2 Timothy especially. And this is probably one of the most quoted verses from both of these books. It's on every other Facebook page. It's the verse we like to hand out to people when something bad happens to them. We don't have a spirit of fear, but power, love, and self-control, and there you go, you feel better now. But let's really think about what Paul is telling Timothy here. He's saying, Timothy, I have given you so much to do. I have laid all of these rules for you to hand out to the other Christians, how you need to be taking charge in your congregation despite how young you are, how you have to endure the persecution of your day, but you shouldn't be afraid because God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And I put forward to you today that while we don't have the exact same circumstances that Paul and Timothy have, God has given each and every one of us a spirit of power and love and self-control. And we need not fear in today's present age. So why do we not need to be afraid? The first part of this verse is the one everyone likes to focus on. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, so don't be afraid. But Paul doesn't stop there. He gives Timothy three reasons. Because of a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and self-control. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. So let's start off by looking at what a spirit of power really is. God has given us a spirit of power. God has worked within us. And when we think of a spirit of power, I think we can get a little confused about what that might mean. And I looked up this word in the Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't know Greek. But this word is dynameos, which occurs very frequently through the New Testament. And I'd like us to look at a couple verses that use this exact same Greek word. Matthew chapter 26, verses 63 and 64. But Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. But Jesus said to him, you have said so. But I tell you from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 5 also use this exact same word. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. When this Greek word dynameos is used, it's not talking about physical power. It's not talking about some secret ability we have. It's talking about the power of God that is within us. And this term is used throughout the New Testament. This term, power of God, can be really misconstrued in society today, especially among people who call themselves Christians. We hear this term, the power of God, and they say, well, that means we can all work miracles. It means we can move mountains if our faith is strong enough. And sometimes I think that even though we might not go to that extreme, we kind of think about that way in our lives. If the power of God is within me, why is so much bad stuff happening? If God is all-powerful, how come I'm still experiencing this hardship? If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, I think really reveals to us what the power of God does for us in our lives and what it is. Starting in verse 3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. The power of God within us is the power of forgiveness and salvation that He has given to all of us. The power of God is right here. It's the gospel which gives us a hope of salvation. We need not fear, because we know that when all else fails, we have an escape from this sinful world through the power of God. But that is not all we have. We also have a spirit of love. How would a spirit of love help us overcome fear? We know that God loves us and that love doesn't change, but it also doesn't change the fact that sometimes life can cause us to be feared. It can be scary. Sometimes we know that God loves us, but we can still feel alone. Love encompasses so many things. We just finished our marriage class and we talked about all the different types of love we can show for people. God knows each and every one of our weaknesses, and He will not give us more than we can handle. With every temptation, He will provide a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. So what is it about this spirit of love that gives us an escape from fear? I firmly believe that this spirit of love is the love that we experience from one another. Because our spirit of love that we have in ourselves and for our brethren lets us know that we're never alone. If you are a Christian, you have a church family, and that means you are never alone. If you are a Christian, you have God who is always with you, and that means you are never alone. The spirit of love is the love that God shows to us and that we show to one another. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read verses 18 through 22. For through Him we have both access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple of the Lord. In Him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. We are a family of Christ. We are a family that loves and cares for one another. And above all, we are a family that will always and should always stand by one another. Galatians 6 verse 2 tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. God loves us enough to forgive us of our sins. That's the power of God. We love each other enough to pick up our brethren, stand strong with them, cry with them, pray with them, and help them in any way we can, because that is our spirit of love. And yet, after power and love, Paul names yet a third aspect, which is the spirit of self-control, or a spirit of discipline. This is the one that I have had the hardest time understanding in my life. How does having self-control help me to not be afraid of all the things that can come at us in the world? All of the sin, all of the terrible things. How does self-control prevent that? We think of self-control as in the circumstances in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which we already read, about not sinning, resisting temptation. That's what self-control is supposed to help us do. But how then is it supposed to help be afraid? It's not sinful to feel fear, and we can resist temptation and still be afraid of things. So how does this discipline help us to not be afraid of what's coming? A spirit of self-control is that knowing that even when we are too weak, God is stronger than we could ever be. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound, and in every circumstance I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, for I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. We are stronger than we think when we live through God. We ourselves are not that strong, let's be honest. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But God is stronger than anything else in the world. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person without self-control. If we imagine ourselves as being like cities, and at the heart of them is supposed to be Christ and our faith, and we imagine that as some grand building right in the middle, when we have fear, when we don't have self-control, it's like a big hole just gaping in the walls of that city, and fear just marches right on through to our core. Self-control does help us resist temptation and sin as well as it should, but without discipline, every doubt, every fear, and every worry strikes right to our core. So Paul told Timothy to not be afraid because of a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and of a spirit of self-control. I'd like to read 1 Peter chapter 5. Just verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by the brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is why we need not fear. It's why Paul told Timothy that he needn't fear. It's not just a simple answer of, oh, we don't need to be afraid because you're a Christian. We don't need to be afraid because the power of God has given us salvation and a hope of eternal life. We don't need to be afraid because even when we feel at our loneliness, we are surrounded with brothers and sisters in Christ and at the side of God Himself. And we don't need to be afraid because we know that in the end, God will come out victorious. And if we're on His side, we will be victorious with Him. And if you're a Christian, this is God's gift to you. This is the spirit we have within us. No matter how alone you feel or how much pain you're in or how far you've fallen, God has given you all you need to overcome, and He's given you a guarantee that if you ask for forgiveness, He will forgive you. If you're not a Christian, things are much more grim. If you're not a Christian, you don't have God on your side. You don't have a spiritual family to help you out, and you don't have a hope of eternal salvation. If you need to request the prayers of the saints because you've failed in some way to trust in God and resist these sins, or if you need to be baptized and receive the Spirit of power, of love, and of self-control, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.